Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Moses Helen gets his back. Back again. We're back. Where are you? You're late. We're at the socially distanced COVID studio. We're back together. And you are not here. So on your way here, could you pick me up a coffee, nuts, fruit, a donut? And yeah, I'll see you in like 10 minutes. See ya.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show. Shall we say hello?
Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to Daddy Look At Me! Yay!
Helen, I'm unhappy.
You just had a sandwich, why are you unhappy?
You know why I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
You went on holiday.
Are you actually going to discuss this now? We've got like two guests in the room. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah. Oh my God, that's so childish. There's like literally a pandemic going on. I went on holiday without Rosie. Every time I go on holiday without her, she feels like she's been left behind. But shut the fuck up. And then basically, but she goes away all the time and she's never invited me. And then when I do invite her, she's not free. So then I just feel rejected. So it's absolutely pointless. And all I did is I went on holiday to York. So it's not even a holiday.
No. Right, okay, York, that's just a normal city. No!
If you're going to say you're from there, you're not from there, you're
from
Bridlington.
My mum and dad live in York.
They live in a village outside of York.
That is my place. I wanted to show you around.
No, your place is Brislington, Huddersfield for University in London. There's no way. That's like you going to Basingstoke and me getting pissed off because it's close enough to flee.
I just spent half a year in York.
At your parents' house?
Yes.
Not in York. This is such bullshit. And also, just so you like are clear, this wasn't a fun holiday. I went with Sunil Patel and Nick Ellery, two of the most miserable old men comedians of all time, who couldn't find any joy in anything, including the Jorvik Centre, where I think they smiled once, even though it's amazing, right?
The Jorvik Centre's amazing.
Have you been, Marcus?
No.
What? Oh, my God.
Haven't you?
You paid to go once. You get free entry for a full year.
There's a reason for that.
Don't look upset. You've been before. I don't know why this is such a big deal to you.
I've been before. I could have shown you around because I'm from there.
Oh, yes. Everyone from York is a really good, like, Viking history. Yeah. Either way, I had a really nice time without Rosie there. Great. And welcome to our guests. We can't do this again because otherwise we end up spending the whole time not talking about their childhoods and just talking about ourselves.
Welcome to our guests, Rachel Paris.
Hello.
And Marcus Ridgedog. I was wondering whether I was coming in for this as well or not. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you
very
much.
Let the listener know. We don't know when we're going to release these, but this is our first one we're doing since lockdown. I'm on my period, Rosie's angry with me, and Rachel and Marcus are being delightful so far, but we're in a small room and we're both yelling and they're going to give up on us really soon.
I want to verify that, like, as someone witnessing this, I do think that Rosie is genuinely cross, not just pretending.
Oh no, she is. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
We had lunch before, and in my mind I was like, don't say it, save it for the podcast.
But I thought we'd moved on because you were sending me messages. You were sending one of the boys I was on holiday with messages about how I'd gone behind your back.
Yeah.
Like, how long were you in York for?
2 nights in a travel lodge.
Two nights, heartbroken.
She spent 3 weeks going around the UK filming travel shows. I don't see how this is a miss out.
Well, I didn't go to Fleet. I wouldn't do that to you.
But Fleet's not exactly a place of interest. Do you know what I mean? No one's gone on holiday to Fleet. They should, though, because it isn't.
Fine. Move on.
I already said move on. You can't say move on when I said move on because I look petty. You move on.
Is there more to Fleet than the services?
Yeah, we've got a pond, actually. And there's a mini WH Smiths in town and at the services, as well as the Scott Mills Bridge that goes across the M3, as well as a mini travel lodge and a Premier Inn by the train station now. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah,
also, the main road,
the
Fleet Road, has now been pedestrianised.
Sounds like we all need to go to Fleet.
I think so.
But when we do, we'll visit you, Helen.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's just my mum that I don't live in Fleet anymore.
Because you're good people.
Wow.
Shots fired. The stairs going on in this studio.
I'm from York. You're from Fleet. Tell us. Where are you from?
Oh, shit, what a segue.
I'm from Leicester. Well, to be specific, a little town called Syston, just to the north of the city. Syston. Yes. Spelled S-Y-S, not pronounced Syston.
Sounds like it's pronounced Syston.
Yeah, I think it might be Syston.
It's not Syston. Everyone's like, is it Syston? No, it's Syston.
It's just by the Fosse Way, which is named for Bob Fosse, the choreographer.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Nice.
And if you want to know who's famous from Syston,
I do.
It's
Bob Fosse.
Stop saying, but it's Foss Way. It's the Foss Way, the famous Foss Roman Foss Way.
What's the Foss Way?
You don't know what the Foss Way
is? Oh, I believe the Fossy thing. Wait, what is that? Was that a joke?
Rachel gets so wound up every time we go up and see her parents. I go, no, so interestingly, this is named for Bob Fosse, the choreographer.
I don't even know who Bob Fosse was, and I was happy to go along with the anecdote.
It's a Roman road called the Foss Way, which goes across like loads of counties. It goes like halfway up England in a straight road.
Like
and
roads
I live
do.
Like metres off the Foss Road. What?
It goes across loads of counties, much like roads do.
I've got to be honest, Rachel, and I love you, and I do think you're amazing, but you're describing a town that doesn't need to be described. Just say, I'm from Syston. Marcus? I don't think you've got much to say.
You gave a full breakdown of Fleet.
I'm sorry if it's somewhere where people get to have a respite equidistant between London and Southampton any time of the day. It's like New York, but in northeast Hampshire. It's not Syston. Sorry, Marcus, we're bored of Rachel's story now. Tell us, where are you from?
I'm from Money.
Yes! Having people on.
So, and I'm married to him, so who wins?
Yeah. Still Marcus!
Well, funnily enough, the private boarding school that I went to as a kid has managed to keep their charitable status because I've married someone from Leicester.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's seen as charitable work. I grew up near sort of Hazelmere in Surrey.
I know, that's near Fleet. I don't know why
that's
we're
quite
attacking
near Fleet.
Each other.
It's
yeah.
quite near Fleet. Yeah,
you can
yeah.
see the Top Gear track from Hazelmere, isn't that like
can
one
you?
Of the famous things? Like in the hills, you can look down on Top Gear.
But they do feel very different.
Yeah.
Because one town produced Marcus,
yes.
a great gentleman.
Thank you,
and
Rosie.
One town produced...
Do you want to get along today? Because you're fucking pushing me. I am not introducing you to the guy I'm seeing later if this is how you're going to be. Are you done? Are you fucking done?
Yeah, and you're saying you're very different.
Yes, we're different people. We've got different backgrounds.
No, I think if you had grown up like nearby to Marcus, you would have attacked him.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Mm.
No,
any of us would.
Would I have bullied you? I don't know. I feel like, I mean...
You might have done. Maybe. I don't know. I
but
mean,
did you go to private school?
Yeah.
That's my favourite thing. I'm so obsessed with private schools. I have watched every documentary.
You went to boarding school.
Oh! Which one?
Well, I went to lots because I was expelled a lot.
Stop it. Wait, hit me with the top.
This is the best thing ever.
Well, without wishing to derail the podcast and make... Anyway, whatever. I was expelled first from St Edmunds, just near Hazelmere, for burning down the goalposts on the football pitch.
And, what with?
Well, it's a good question, actually. I used creosote because it smelt like it would burn, but it doesn't burn. It actually meant the fire just took much longer. So I sort of poured it. I put kindling round the bottom of these wooden goalposts.
Oh, so they were wooden goalposts?
Yeah, because 70s. Yeah. And built a fire. And then the creosote smelt like, oh, yeah, that smells like it'll burn. Yeah. Poured that on. And actually, it meant that it took ages. But I got them in the end. And then and my logic was very solid. It was I didn't like football. And I was like, if there's only one set of goalposts, they'll only need half the number of players. That was what I was thinking.
I don't think we've ever had a guest on where you're like, yeah, you needed attention as a child. Yeah. You literally set fire things to people to look at you.
So that was the first one when I was six.
Six?
No, maybe I was probably seven when that happened. Just seven.
No.
And then another boarding school.
And then another boarding school. Yeah. No fire this time, but I did get expelled from there for leading an expedition of... friends across six lanes of a dual carriageway. but we didn't lose a single man. The whole platoon got there and back to the gang of young lads.
Were you going somewhere?
Yes.
Fleet.
We're going to Fleet. We're going to buy sweets.
Yeah.
Did you get your sweets?
Yeah, I got sweets. Got the sweets, and everybody got back safely.
A six-lane duel, that's madness.
And then the next one was a school in Somerset called King's Bruton.
That
which
was like Borstal, basically.
No,
like,
Borstal was the next one.
You went to four schools?
Five or six. But no, King's Bruton was I think I'm still officially banned from the town of Bruton.
No!
Because the town is so much of the town is owned by the school, and I'm banned from the whole school. So that was more normal, sort of smoking, drinking, shoplifting, general antisocial behaviour.
Traditional.
Naughty stuff.
Your normal,
naughty
your basics. And then the final thing was an act of vandalism on what turned out to be a master's car.
What did you write?
Well, when the Beastie Boys were... So when I was 13, No Sleep Till Brooklyn and Fight For Your Right To Party and that album, License To Ill, came out and it was huge. You know, if you're a posh boy, it really spoke to my experience. And ripping a VW sign off a car was the thing you did, and then you wore it as a trophy.
Like, yeah. Okay, right.
And I did it, and it turned out to belong to a very popular member of staff, the car.
Ooh,
so that was that. And then the Borstal.
And then Borstal. And then Borstal. I mean, was there uni for you? Or?
Yeah. But much later.
This is just goes to show, honestly, you can go to university in England with anything. Like, as long as you've got enough money to pay, you do not need to have grades.
Yeah.
So, Marcus, a bad boy of private school.
Yes.
Rachel.
Very similar story.
Bad?
No, I was a good girl. I loved school straight away. I went to the local school called Barkby Primary School.
Cute.
And they had two houses. One was called Windsor, one was called Charnwood.
Charnwood. It depended like that. That's different, isn't it?
What colour tie you wore, or in summer, what checkered dress.
Yes. What were you?
I was Windsor, which was red.
Great.
I just really liked school. I sort of liked, you know, learning and playing, got on with the teachers
I'm
pretty
with you.
Well.
I took to it. Like, I love the teachers. I love, like, the routine of going in every day, seeing my friends, playtime. Yeah. Like, I threw myself into every activity. Yeah. Like, were your report cards always like, she loves it, she's doing her best?
They were. Yeah. They were just like, yeah, she's nice, she gives everything a good go. And it just sort of suited me. And the same was true for secondary school as well. So then the headmaster of that, like, a few of us... He was such a good headmaster, and he, like, said to parents who wouldn't ordinarily have thought about private school, he said, there are scholarships available. So I'll give them extra lessons.
So I got
a scholarship to like the best, well, in my, I think like the best school in Leicester, really.
That is such a good teacher that had he was amazing.
He was amazing, yeah. So I got to go to a private school, which was amazing, and I still had the same experience. I really liked it.
What was your scholarship in? Did you have to do like a specialist subject?
No, it was just general, just general academic.
So you're just
you had
smart
to you had to reach like a certain point at it. But they knew, but they knew I was musical, so I played piano and sang already when I went. So I think that helped.
Wait,
so
and clarinet. You, like,
no, I started learning clarinet. Wouldn't
I was later.
When
I would have actually guessed you were a clarinet kid. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what it is, and it's a compliment, but there is a look to the clarinet kid.
Quite neat.
Yeah, very neat. Like quite my housemate, Emma Black, is a clarinet kid, and you can tell, like, her hair is just always good.
Yeah.
And there's a clarinet look to them. You're like, no, that's
I think flute kids have got a look. As well,
I did the flute for 3 years.
Did you?
Do I have the flute?
I have.
Look?
No, you don't actually. No, but I'm gonna say I have, and I think you'd agree with this, Rach. Flute mouth, the shape, the mouth has to get in to play the flute. The actual act of playing
it's horrendous.
I find really, really upsetting.
Yeah, 3 years. I think I wouldn't.
I
have
love
it, would
the sound of it, but I really am like.
No.
That thing. There's something. There's something wrong with it. I find it very unsettling.
It's not right.
No.
I thought Helen, you will be a brass player.
Because I've got a broad back. I don't know why that's a thing, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's got a broad back, she'll be a brass player.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got German heritage, she'll play the brass. Because the Germans fucking love trumpets.
You look like you could carry
a tuba,
a
tuba. No, but I know what you mean. I do look like I could play. No, my brother played the trumpet. He got given a trumpet. And he played it a bit. And then I had the flute for like 3 years. But I was a kid who, like, if I wasn't good at it, I didn't see the point. So I wasn't good at flute. And there were like, so everyone's the same level when you're at junior school.
Yeah.
You stay, it's like lunch hour or whatever it is. And you go to 20 minutes with like five other kids. And then I just realized that I wasn't good at it and I wasn't practicing. So I was like, well, I'm not going to try.
Because
that's embarrassing then.
Yeah.
So I just gave up. And all I wanted to do, in fact, still now, all I want to do is be able to be a good singer. And I can't sing. And I hate it because that's the only thing I want.
Have you had singing lessons?
No, but I can't sing. Like, I've tried.
I would totally, totally recommend singing lessons. Because,
really?
Yes, because I couldn't sing and maybe I still can't, but I've absolutely lost that thing of, like, thinking I can't sing.
Yeah.
So I got cast in Spamalot as King Arthur and I said to him, like...
No!
I said, I can't sing. And they went, right, go over to the piano... And they went ding, ding, ding. And they went, copy that. And I went, la, la, la. And they went, you can sing. That's it. If you can copy those three notes, then you can sing. That's the basis from which to work. And then you may not be
voice.
A great singer.
That did sound really good.
You want to be a great singer, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And I promise you, when I first sang on Spamalot, so this, the cast was so brilliant. Like, these are people with skills, not just with chutzpah, you know, like real skills. And the first time I had to sing, there's like this ballad that King Arthur sings. And I tried to sing it in front of everyone. And I was literally shaking like a leaf. And my throat closed and just went like, you will not make this noise. You won't do it.
Yeah.
And bless him, there's a brilliant actor, David Langham. And he came over to me afterwards. He put his arms around me and he said, you know, that's not there yet, but it will be. And it was brilliant. It makes me really emotional even to say that now. He's such an amazing guy. And he started amongst many, many others just to like inject that confidence.
Yeah, I feel like
you
just
sing.
Me.
You should sing.
That should be like a new verb. You've been
learning. And I tell you what, Rachel can sit at the piano.
Yeah.
Like we were watching, we've been watching.
But Rachel, you sing. Like you've got a
beautiful
voice.
Oh, thanks. It needs, like I should have had singing lessons.
Yeah.
For years, like it gets.
I thought you did have singing lessons for years.
No, I had singing
sound.
Lessons when I was young, but not for years and years. And you do. I can like hold a tune, but there's like I listen to like proper musical theatre singers, and I'm like, oh, you're amazing.
I think that's the problem. Is I exclusively listen to musical theatre, so I'm listening to like
fucking like Patti LuPone and stuff like that. Yeah, so obviously I'm not going to think I can sing because I'm always listening to like Sunset Boulevard.
Do you do Elaine Page on Sunday?
Yes!
And we all do Epos. Did you hear the other day? It was one of my favourites. So we wait every week for the moment where Elaine says, now, I've had a letter from someone and I don't know who, asking if they can hear my version.
Yeah!
And she did the other day, she did the OGs of musical theatre, like the original greatest recordings, and built it up and built it up and built it up and built it up. And she went, and what better way to finish than with this version of Evita sung by yours truly.
Are you serious?
And it was, and it was she closed the show on it. I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
There's a part of my heart that is just for Elaine to laugh. Yeah.
I mean, we're all confident people who like attention, but that's just a whole new world. Like, I remember thinking I was the most confident person in the world. I'm thinking, like, I was such a confident teenager.
Yeah.
And then I saw Cher doing West Side Story for the first time
when
she just performed
All the Parts.
I'm Cher, this is West Side Story, I shall be playing all the parts. And I was like, no, that's a different stratosphere.
Go for it.
I met Elaine Page at a do, right?
A do? You went to a do.
There was a do. A musical theatre do.
Oh, we did go to private school.
And
again,
I had tweeted something the night before about Battersea Park fireworks display and how something annoying had happened. A bloke with a microphone, basically. And Elaine Page came over because she'd seen the tweet. She'd been there and she wanted to talk about it. And of course, I knew exactly who it was because it was Elaine Page. And I was like, oh, my God. And she walked over to me and she's only about 3 foot tall. And she stood in front of me and she went, Elaine Page. And pointed at her own face and just said, Elaine Page. And I was over the moon. But what I was going to say, the point was Rachel, because she's practiced, because she can do it, can sit at the piano and go, oh, yes, that. So we were watching, we've been watching Tremé on HBO. It was a brilliant series made by David Simon about New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, sort of told through musicians and stuff. And they played, it was Big Chief, wasn't it, by Professor Longhair. And Rachel went, oh, I really like that. And she just sat and could play it.
Oh,
and it delights me. It's so brilliant.
That's amazing.
Just blowing smoke up your bum. Sorry.
Thanks.
But were you that sort of performing kid at school? Would you like go? Did you know that you were good at singing and like performing? So you would like go out for those things?
No, I didn't feel like I was good at singing, but I frankly was good at the piano in a way that not that I was the most technically but good at the piano, but I did have a very good ear, so I could transpose anything and play stuff just without the music and also with the music. But like, so for example, they had like an assembly with a hymn every morning. Yeah. So I took over playing the hymns in assembly for a while.
Who was doing it before? A teacher?
But it hasn't put you off them.
It hasn't put you off them. No,
hymns
I love hymns.
Stuff.
Some
you
great
love
hymns.
A hymn.
There's some shit hymns, but there's some really beautiful musical hymns.
I was listening to the Sister Act soundtrack this morning. Literally this morning, I will follow him.
So yeah, sure, but that's great.
Yeah, so it's still a hymn, right?
Yeah.
Like that's, if I ever get married, that's 100% the song I'm walking down the aisle to.
I like the bit where he goes,
I love him, I love him, I love him, and where he goes,
and we're away.
But that's like the best, that's the musical that never gets put on anywhere, and it should be put on, like every fucking regional theatre
It was about to be put on.
I know, but like it should be like, you know like how schools always do like Bugsy Malone, blah, 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 and it's like, no, I want to see a group of 10-year-old British kids doing Sister Act. Yeah. That's all I want.
I'm not just saying this, we genuinely did it at our school, not the musical, but we did the song, not I Will Follow Him, but Dear Lord and Father,
Maria.
That one for our music competition as a little choir. We did, and it was so good. I did it in our first year, so when we were 11, and I was just a little 11-year-old. It wasn't my idea. It was so good. I remember the moment where we were like.
That's so cute. Please tell me you dressed up like nuns.
No, we didn't.
Damn it.
We did, to be fair, the school uniform. We did look like nuns anyway. But
did you win? Was it like a proper competition?
I don't think we did win. But yeah, I was that kid. I was the musical kid. So I did all the classical concerts on the piano. I sang. It was like anything I could really. Like all the, if there was ever like there was little talent competitions organised by not by the school, by pupils just in the lunch hour, and would play for any of them.
Wait, there were talent competitions in the lunch hour?
Occasionally, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you'd have to enter and perform in front of the rest of the school.
Oh, yeah, just in front of people who turned up.
Oh. But, so like 10 of you?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to find a way to say that in a not bitchy way. But not there's no way around school. It to be like, oh, so it was just you and 10 other kids without many other friends like, playing and with the hymns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, you've got the measure of it. But then like house music, and then there was like a big, and then the play, there was like a play in middle school and then high school. And then like we did our own musical in sixth form after we finished our A-levels.
Own musical?
Yeah, so they said, you've got 2 weeks after you finished your A-levels, do you want to put on a musical?
We were Shut up, that is my dream.
Yeah, so we did Sweet Charity and I was Sweet Charity.
Yeah!
So great.
Oh my God.
It was amazing, it was absolutely amazing. And like there were girls who were really good at dance, who'd done like the dance exam, so they choreographed the whole thing. There were people who were
originally
really
choreographed
by
Bob Fosse, of course, from Syston. From Syston.
But get this, remember Sweet Charity? Sweet Charity is the one with Big Spender, with essentially 9 prostitutes in a row with the backs of chairs with their legs spread open.
All you want to do. Rosie did a show about bulimia for fun. Like, we all did them when we were
there. But like, so there's like a load of like 17 to 18 year old girls performing in that way as strippers with the backs of chairs to the dads.
And that one geography teacher was like, I'm a fan of the arts.
Was it a musical about bulimia?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. That is a waste.
No. Oh, but what we did, it was a play that I wrote and directed. And we... Do you remember this?
You've done a retelling of as much as you can remember of it with all of you lined up at the front of the stage.
We were lining up and pretending to be sick.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, the audience.
But to the soundtrack of Beautiful Girls.
Yes.
Your way to beautiful. You know what? I heard that the other day and they've changed it.
Why?
Because you know the song was always a bit inappropriate because it's like, you'll have me suicidal. Oh, yeah. Really fun beat.
Now you say it. That was weird.
Really inappropriate. And I think they've changed it now to like, you'll have me so excited.
Blank. God.
No, but I really think we should look at Rosie now and judge her for at the age of a teenager putting on a show about bulimia when people have actually really gone through it.
I did drama A-level and I got full marks.
Worth it.
Justified.
But what I thought when you said you did a musical at the end of A-levels, I thought you meant that you guys created a musical from scratch.
No.
And I was about to lose my mind with joy. Because did you never do this for like GCSE or A-level where you had to create your own piece? Because the teenage brain is like, it fetishizes like death and like
pain.
Tragic.
Oh my
like,
God.
Oh my God, to have a parent die at school.
I went to.
Like, you know that feeling?
My son's GCSE drama devised piece, right? I went and I'm obviously thrilled to see my son do his work.
Yeah.
But there were 8 devised pieces, one after another.
Here we go.
And every last one of them was about self-harm and suicide and pain and agony. And
it's good to know
Lord.
The trend continues.
Yeah. Still
it
out
never
there.
Will stop. This is why Jacqueline Wilson is still a top-selling author.
Yeah,
because deep down, we all want a mum with bipolar and we want to find watch her cut herself in the bath. That's all we're dreaming of.
I found, I was going through some old stuff in my mum's house, like the stuff that you find in boxes that has been there for years, and she found some notebooks from when I was like 11.
Oh, these are great. Oh, we should have bought them.
Yeah, I can't remember where they are in our
house. Well, let me set the scene. They all have tartan covers.
Yes!
I don't know if they had tartan covers originally. No. These may have been added.
Recovered.
Great.
I covered them.
Good girls do recover notepads. It's actually a thing. Yeah. We like to protect it and have it all matching.
With wallpaper.
Yeah, because we want everything to be matching. Yeah. You want every notepad to be like moving on from the last. This is why every girl's notepad has like 5 pages ripped up at the front because you mess up the handwriting and you're like, well, I'm starting fresh.
Yes.
I'm with you. I was a good girl too.
We sound mad, this is an absolute mystery to me.
No, it's... honestly, I'm with you.
So I found notes of it. We had like... to do like a speech for English, I think. We had to choose a subject and like study it and then give a speech about it. And I chose famine in the third world.
Bit of fun.
Wait, how old were you?
I think I was 11. I mean, reading it, I hope I was 11.
Guys, 11 year olds unless they really get famine in the third world. So like, be respectful, Rosie. She's like, been through it.
A little girl at a private school talking about, and basically I read it and I obviously didn't do any research apart from maybe watching the news once. And my message, and Marcus has read it, I think can attest to my message overall, is that famine is bad.
Good well, that's message. Good
now,
message.
To be fair, that would make you Minister for Overseas Development. That's enough. It's easily enough.
But I managed to, and this is a skill that did come in useful, like all the way through education, was that was my message. I didn't have much information on it, but I did manage to string it along for a good, like, 4 pages. Yeah.
Did you? I can't remember. I have read it, but I can't remember whether you came up with any solutions. Were there suggestions? Because usually it amounts to, we really ought to be sending our leftovers.
I don't think I said that, but I did. I think I said something like, we as a country ought to be more grateful for what we have.
That's a good start.
Oh, at least you didn't end it with to teach a man to fish, you feed him. You know what I mean? That would have been us leave it now. Wow. I mean, but I think that's what you do. I think when you're a kid, particularly a confident child, you sort of like think you can take on the big subjects and do those big things.
But you
and
can't.
And also, like you said at the beginning, you're a museum person.
Yeah.
Like, because museums fuck you up. Because I got fucked up because I was going to museums like, most holidays were like family holidays were like museums and cultural sites of interest. Like we didn't go to Disneyland or to the beach. We'd go to like the Imperial War Museum. But I was going to the Imperial War Museum like early noughties when all the museums panicked and were like, make it interactive. So for me, my Disneyland was the trench experience at the like World War One section. We're like, press the button for mustard gas. Lol, he's dead. Like I would go up for weekends to ride the Kobe earthquake simulator at the Science Museum. It's still there. I can recommend going. It's just queues of British kids being like, we're all going to die. While there's actual footage of the earthquake happening with people running around the supermarket trying to find their loved ones. Oh, and it's just people like me like, press the button. The lights are flashing. Yeah. It desensitizes you.
It's so bad. I found some photos as well the other day of like, we went on a school trip when we were 13 or 14.
To the third world to solve famine.
Not far off.
Did you take your old sandwich?
You have to.
Yeah, if you're going to a famine-struck country, you must take your own sandwich.
Give them a bite. But I went to Ypres, to the trenches.
Yeah.
Not just me. It was a school trip.
Bit of fun for a school
bit
trip.
Bit of fun. And I found the photos and like, thing is, you are still a child and it is a school trip. So yeah, it's all of us like in the actual trenches where people died, just being like, thumbs up. Yeah. Peace sign. Oh. Here we are.
But then I feel like that's what you did on a school trip. Like, I can't remember where we went or what we learnt, but I do remember I had a tuna sandwich.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And a cheese string. Like, it's not about where you go, it's basically about getting out of your shitty town.
Yeah.
I was so worried that was going to be you saying you went to your Vic Centre.
It's so upsetting.
I did.
Shut up.
It's so upsetting when you're given a lunch for something like that and you eat it on the way there at, say, 10 a.m., which I always did.
Yeah.
And then at lunchtime, you'd sort of sit there just eyeing up everyone else's sandwiches.
Particularly at a death camp, you can't wind up.
Yeah, no, it's really hard, isn't it?
I mean, like, Rachel's in the trenches and she's like, oh, I want some more skips. Yeah. Starving.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
About siblings, are you only children? Have bigger brothers?
Well, I went to boarding school, so I don't really know. no, I do. I'm very close. No. So my sister is 2 years older than me. She moved to Canada when I was 17.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were sort of close enough given the boarding school thing.
Yeah.
But my brother, who's 8 years younger than me. Is my best friend and has been since the day he was born. I just thought he was the best thing ever. And we're still really close. They live just around the corner from us.
I think it's worth saying your sister got expelled from the same school you
yes,
got
that's
expelled
true,
from.
Yes, that's true, actually, she did. She did. School was, the head of that school not only expelled us both, but was friends independently with both my mum and my dad.
No.
So he'd been, yeah, my dad was a really high-level squash player.
But that's
at
how
one
it works,
point.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And
should give you even more of a reason to not get expelled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he knew dad from playing squash and then knew my mum because my mum was a head teacher. And so,
the benefit of listening, Rachel is frowning and shaking her head at the poshness of the partner that she's chosen. He said squash twice and she just went, oh.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, that's really good though, because usually we have comics that come in here and when we ask them about siblings, it just seems like it was a competitive relationship from day one, like trying to outdo them. But you seem like you're healthy and balanced in that way.
I think
maybe this
so.
Is good. So maybe you needed attention, but the fire was enough.
Yeah,
but
I think
But then if he was 8 years younger, you didn't have that direct.
You weren't auditioning for school plays. You weren't both up for Joseph and the Nativity, stuff like that.
I wanted his attention. I wanted my brother's attention. I wanted him to think I was great. And we got
That's
into...
That's usually supposed to be the other way around.
We
Look
got into...
at me, baby!
Yeah, exactly. It really was. And we did some amazing things, including on holiday. I have to say, 8 years older, this must have been my idea. But we got one of those foot pumps you use for a lilo.
Oh,
he mentioned this in my best man speech, actually.
Yeah, he did.
At the wedding. We got one of those foot pumps you use to blow up a lilo and put the nozzle of it in our bums and just put farts in ourselves. Foot pumped farts into ourselves and then farted them back out.
Okay, yeah.
Great fun. Not
I
safe.
I don't want a picture, but you've got a picture to see how it works out.
It's quite dangerous.
I'm hearing that and I'm thinking, at what point can I try that?
Whenever you like. But I'll say this, a lot of those pumps are electric now and they're more powerful, so be careful.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I think it's worth going to find an older one. Argos will sell one for like $3.99, do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, props.
And it's so tricky because I don't know you well enough to insult you. But
no,
like,
go for it.
But like, what part of pumping air into your anus thought your brother would look up to you and respect you more and like you?
Because
what part of that were you like, this is a cool move?
Because of the fart that would follow.
So you thought that your brother would be like, oh, my big brother's so cool. He like farts all the time.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think it worked.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
of
he
course.
Didn't get expelled at all. He was fine.
No. He. My brother really sat like the right line between being like just naughty enough and working hard, and you know,
there's something going
very
on
happy,
in your
very balanced,
I'm
very
not,
cool.
Like, really?
Yeah. He's a great guy.
I want my baby brother to respect me. I'm going to shove this pump up my anus.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to film a sphincter full of like air and just see what happens.
Yeah. And up his as well.
Yeah, both. Yeah. I didn't do it to him.
No, God, no, you're not.
We each did it to ourselves.
Yeah, it'd be weird if only one brother like put it up their ass.
Yes,
yeah.
It would.
Yeah. That would be creepy then.
That would be really upsetting.
Yeah, it's weird
that
your sister wasn't part of it as well.
Well,
either way, I'm glad it was in the wedding speech.
Yeah. Yes. It's nice to get that info out. out there. In fact, when he did it, when he mentioned it in the wedding speech, I was like, I have not thought about that for a long time.
You were laughing.
It made me laugh
so
a lot.
Much.
It really made so me laugh.
It's like the idea on your wedding day, this romantic, beautiful day, you're thinking about air going up Uranus. Yeah. Like, it's just so beautiful.
And rushing back out again.
Yeah. And I really hope he said, and here it is.
And here's your wedding gift.
Yeah.
This may look like an old broken pump to you, but in our family, this has real meaning.
And Rachel, siblings.
I've got lots of half brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But like in terms of the ages that we grew up with, I basically like grew up in the house with two older brothers.
Nice.
And my brother Matthew was a performer. He went to drama school, which was quite a, to Guildford.
Which one? We love
which
it.
Which was a huge thing coming
Guildford
out
School
of
Acting, GSA.
Guildford School of Acting.
My mum ran a drama school from our living room when
oh
I was younger.
Oh my God, yeah. Amazing. Yeah, so he went there, which was like a huge achievement coming from the state school. Our local state yeah. school in Syston yeah. was like a fucking rough one. And yeah. it was quite a thing, him going there
amazing.
From Leicester. But then anyway, he didn't end up like going into acting because it's too hard.
It is.
You know, he didn't have any money. And my brother Preston is also really creative. He's not yeah. really a performer, but like he's done like DJing and he's very musical.
He writes
well.
Brilliant music too.
He does. He
really
writes
great.
Like, it's really yeah. different to me. Like he writes like electronic music. Mm. It's really, and he's, it really, he's very, he did an art degree and he's really good for like, you know, woodwork and like.
But this sounds
creative.
Supportive as well. It doesn't even yeah. sound like you were competitive with them.
Well, we were because we were into different things. But I do think without me realising, I probably was quite an annoyingly precocious, performative little sister to have.
Okay.
Like yeah. I was the only one to go to private school,
yeah.
which mm-hmm. I think was probably irked yeah. a bit. And also then was like, you know, very like doing concerts
yeah.
and like
yeah
and also very well behaved and you know I think
a
I
lot
was,
of covers yeah. playing the clarinet.
I think I was the successful little youngest one
yeah.
who
mm-hmm.
sort of did quite well, a bit yeah. like your brother, I suppose. Mm. So I think
that was like such a natural thing, wasn't it? Like I think I was just like the perfect one. And you, I suppose like your like, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ouch! And the way you just agreed with it.
It's like, totally like this. I mean, the shade that I'm sitting under. There's really no point trying to look for any yeah. daylight
just
here.
So casual the way you did it, like boss playing with a microphone.
But I probably was quite an annoying little sister to have in that respect, but there wasn't that much overlap because we did do different things yeah. like artistically. But yeah, he's very creative. Well, quite
but he's like 4 or 5 years older than you.
5 years older.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't have that. You know, when
this
you're close
thing,
together,
you're not competing
yeah.
for the solo
no.
on the school choir.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
you've
yeah.
already got it. It's
yeah.
happening. It's Rachel's. Move
yeah.
on.
I think it's so interesting from your point of view. You were like, fine. But you were double, so you were the baby and the only girl.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'll say it now. Your brothers hated you.
It's, yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah.
We don't want to say that. But
and
like
also,
you said that when,
also
yeah.
they had nowhere to go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowhere to go, just had to put it within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I told you, you could run and tell mum.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And then they will be ruined.
I think you would have had enough positive attention that you would not need to start fires and
yeah.
take a platoon of boys across a 6-lane dual carriageway.
I think that's it. We both wanted attention, but I got it by practising the piano. And,
yeah. yeah.
and the clarinet. And not
but,
forget
yeah.
the
you know,
and the clarinet.
But success looks, you know, let's not forget that all six of us got back from that trip across
yeah.
all 6 lanes of a dual carriageway.
I don't think
let's
that's
not
the
forget,
from this.
Let's not forget that a dual carriageway has a central reservation that also needs to be successfully climbed
yeah.
before
yeah.
you can hit
yeah.
lanes 4, 5 and 6.
Did yeah. anyone listening
so
to this
a
is
lot...
considering doing it? We are not recommending that.
If anything, it just shows me that you are a natural born leader.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't think
finally.
Get expelled for
finally. But I do think it's very important that people like me stay well away from Westminster.
Yeah. yeah.
Like it's really important, you know,
yeah.
like I adore my parents. They're kind, loving, decent people. And I've given them so much shit over the years for them to have to put up with.
They were rewarded with your brother.
Yeah. But there is, like, genuinely, I think when I look at Westminster and the number of people who were separated from their parents age seven and what that does to you as a person, and then they're running the country. And it's not that they're all bad people, but something big and traumatic happened to them in childhood and they shouldn't. It's important that they don't do that job. Some of them should, right? It's fine. A few of them should, that's fine. But there's loads of them and they
burn
are
them all. Just
they're
burn
mostly
them.
Broken people. Yeah. They're that's mostly really damaged.
Yeah. No. David.
Do you remember that documentary that I was telling you about? There's one about Harrow and they follow the little boys who arrive there and they're like 11, 10, they're tiny little dots and they're so sweet and you're like, they do interviews with like the year 10s there and you're like, how are you such an asshole? Like, you must have been this sweet little thing who was just so nervous and scared. And they keep on jumping between the ages and you're like, it's the fucking school. Yeah. It's you being left in this institution where you're just talked down to and you're like constantly being hazed.
Well, but sort of, but now most of those schools, they, you know, they build the kids and they, what they do is they give them every possibility. I don't mean all just stuff, but every possibility. Do you want to do this thing? Let's see if we can make that happen for you, which is, you know, of course there are some financial constraints, but that should be the basis upon which all education works. Yeah. Is if a child is capable of something that's decent, you know, like let them do it, make them do it. It was different when I was at school. So my punishment for being the sort of kid that I was that I was banned from drama. Like I was told I couldn't do the school play. So the failures that I had, which were like, and it's not, you know, it's sort of fine in its way. But we had, like, we had marks given to us, golds and blacks, right? And at the end of each term, they would read out for the houses who'd got what. Mm. And, you know, a surplus of golds would mean that owls had, you know, 600 golds and they'd beaten panthers and hurrah and Hogwarts.
Sounds like the Hogwarts.
And Hogwarts, exactly like that, right? And so, and that's how it worked. And they'd read them in ascending order. And I'll never forget it, even to this day. It's a long, long time ago. But I got minus 15, which was like a school record for the worst, you know, like the worst ever. And so, and that was read out and there was a pause afterwards. Brigstock, minus 15. And all the other owls would look at you and go, like this. They'd all look at you because, like, you've ruined, you haven't just not contributed, you've taken away from, anyway. So that was that. But then the punishment for me was I was not allowed to be in plays and stuff, which was the only thing I was good at.
No, preach. Yeah.
The
yeah.
only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really hadn't figured out, like,
no, they hadn't
mental health
it.
Or...
Yeah. But they're mostly not like that now, and they work on, you know, affirming people.
Can't
but it's
you
still
got banned from school plays.
Yeah.
I mean, famously, I whinge about this every episode, but I actually wasn't allowed in the school play in year 11 because the drama teacher didn't like me because I knew she was having an affair, and she said I was too tall to be in the chorus of women, and I cried for a week.
Outrageous.
Mrs. fucking Horner.
Okay. But like it was the worst. Says that everyone.
Because I'm never gonna get over it. I was drama was all I had, and I wasn't allowed.
But
to
at the risk of this shit getting too serious, this is what's happening right fucking now. This is what Rishi Sunak is doing to the arts, treating it like it's an option and a privilege that can just be taken away because it just looks like fun and it's just dress up anyway.
And it's amazing how many people like owe any confidence or the ability to walk into a room and introduce themselves to people due to those drama classes. You know, like it's such an important thing, and it's not just for the performers, but for everyone in general.
I was gonna say, as for performers, it obviously means so much to us, but then I also think about people like my mum and dad who are normal people working. Earning money so they can go and see plays and go to the theatre. Because for non-performers, it's still an escape. And no one is realising that in life we need an escape.
Mm. Absolutely.
Just to make it clear, we're not comparing us to being doctors. It's a different thing, but it's still important.
But also, I mean, naturally, but I've done comedy gigs where, like, nurses are people who do inverted commas proper jobs.
Yeah.
Come on.
I thought you were going to say hero work.
No. Like, proper jobs come up to me and go, thank you, because you made me laugh for like an hour. Like, need that escape.
I've never had a nurse do that, so go fuck yourself.
Also, really? Kids. Also, like, kids who need or want attention. It is like a really reasonable place to put them.
Yeah.
You know, like give those kids. Ken Robinson, the educationalist who died earlier this year, he was so brilliant. And he's like that. He's like, you know, the kid who, he was talking about a kid he'd...
The educationalist?
Yeah, he lectured in education. His TED Talk is the most brilliant, beautiful, inspiring thing ever. Yeah, it's this great little bit where he's talking about an art teacher. And this little girl who wasn't particularly good at anything, but she was doing a drawing, and the teacher went over to her and said, what are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing God. And the teacher said, but no one knows what God looks like. And she said, no, I haven't finished it yet. It's so brilliant. He was all about that. But he was also about this kid who was fidgeting all the time. She was just a fidget. And he said that the head teacher of her school had not punished her, but had gone, no, but what she is a dancer. She's a dancer. Yeah. That's what she is. It's not that she's a fidget who won't concentrate. She is a dancer. I mean, she may or may not grow up to be a dancer, but she is a dancer right now, and that's the thing that she's good at, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we're talking to our younger selves. Like, can you honestly tell me you can look at 10-year-old Rachel and be like, no, you are not getting a woodwind instrument, no matter how much you want it. You are not getting your clarinet, and we will not be doing Sweet Charity. You will just sit here and read by yourself.
Which,
you don't
to be fair,
to be
you've
a
been
prostitute
very happy
at
with.
17.
I do think, though, there's different degrees. Because as comedians, I think it's so often assumed that as a child, you would have been a loud, aggy clown.
We assumed that because we're both that way. We started this podcast for that exact reason. And we had some people come in being like, I was shy. And we're like, what?
I was. Like, I got more confident as I went through school. But definitely at primary school and early secondary school, like my reports, when I did the first play at secondary school, they said, we are surprised to find Rachel has the confidence to do this and this. And at primary school, like, I was just quite a quiet, well-behaved little girl until I got parts in the plays.
Yeah.
And that was the only place where I showed that I was a performer. And I remember, like, there was a brilliant bit in the middle classes. This is the kind of girl I was at school, that I already had two small parts. So they had a big part or two small parts in the school play. And they did... Every year did their own little play. So every year you got the chance to do a Christmas play. And my friend Catherine got ill, not seriously, but ill enough not to be able to do her big part.
Amazing.
So the teacher rang my mum up and said, is there any chance, this was days before, that Rachel can learn Catherine's part and do her two small parts and a big part?
It's like a movie.
It was like a movie. And I was like, yeah. And my mum was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes. And I did three parts and I loved it. And I think I nailed it, like, as far as, like, an 8-year-old can nail a play.
How did Catherine take the news?
I don't know. we remain friends. Yeah. But she was a good performer as well, to be fair. But, that's the thing.
What a mystery that she suddenly got ill.
Hey, fucking Christ. Some kids can't take the heat, man.
Rachel was very quiet at school.
I am happy that you were a shy kid and you got given those opportunities, but as a loud kid who got those opportunities taken away from me because I was too tall and there were quieter kids who deserved the chance, I would have fucking sat on you. I was a big girl.
Yeah.
I would have crushed you to death.
But yeah, Rosie, I'm glad you got the confidence.
Did you want to perform at school?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a lot. I was in some plays. I wasn't in the musicals because I cannot sing bullshit. And I talked about this bit football, and it's really like prickish. But when I was 16, we did like an adult version of the Nativity, and I played
the lead.
Awesome.
The lead.
I just want to clarify one thing. When you say an adult version of the Nativity,
I mean,
the conception was
filmed.
Yeah.
All fucked each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Me, donkeys, Jesus,
the lot, everything.
The lot.
Gabriel was busy.
I think it was in modern times. It was done, but from Herod's point of view, and me being Mary, it was a bit about like disability, and it was actually amazing, and exactly what you said of it was the first time actually I had teacher went to Cambridge, and they was in the footlights with Ian McKellen.
What?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, he was incredible. He was such a quiet, lovely, clever man. And they came up to me and went, "You made me cry.
Oh.
You're a performer."
Oh, and that's so great.
It was the first time that I thought, if he says that, he wasn't one to patronise or say something he didn't mean. And I think being disabled, a lot of my childhood, it wasn't what was me, but it was like, oh, I won't do sports day. Okay. Oh, I won't do the musical. Okay. Oh, I won't play an instrument. Okay. But drama, when I found drama, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And not only that, I am good at it.
Yeah.
So back to the arts and how important it was. Like, it's weird for me to say, but I was a quiet one, the shy one, and it was when I found drama and found performing, I found myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So no teacher should ever use drama as a punishment. Because I think the four people here today have very different childhoods, but we needed performing to really find who we are.
Oh my God, that was fucking beautiful.
It really was.
I'm not going to say anything else. That's the end of the podcast.
And this is why you should let me talk more.
I let Marcus ask you a question and I thought, no, fair play, it has been a while.
I'm ready for daddy.
Did you know this? I am daddy.
No.
I had no idea.
How dare you? Some people call me Rosie, but if you are wise, You woke on me, Daddy.
Oh, you've been working on this in lockdown. There's never been a creepy speech.
It's got its own introduction and
she's
everything.
Making
now.
It sound like this is normal. This is, we usually go, and here's Daddy. Like, this is weird.
This better be underscored when it's broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, that whole last speech, Jack, I swear to God, if you don't like a valedictorian background.
I need like rising strings. And
Could we do a music mix of me being like, fuck my drama teacher who wouldn't let me in because she was having an affair? Redub that in. Sorry, Daddy, go.
Thank you. So for the next 3 minutes, I'll be your daddy and we'll have a lovely day out together. So sometimes I bring Helen and she's been naughty. I leave her behind. But
I've been a babe.
Today we're going on a trip, the five of us.
Five?
Chef, Marcus, Rachel, Helen, Daddy, and Elaine Page.
Yes!
Elaine Page.
Apos.
Elaine Page.
So, we're doing two things. First thing we're doing is we're getting sweets.
Yes. Brilliant. Safely, I hope.
How are we getting sweets? Marcus is going to lead us through a very busy motorway. And we're gonna all survive.
Guys, think about Frogger. That's how you do it. Think about Frogger. It's not about running straight to the middle. Sometimes you've got to run and then go back a lane, haven't you? And then go forward.
That we did have a heavy moment where Elaine Page tried to introduce herself to a lorry driver. But we didn't. What sweets have we got?
Can we each pick individually? Yeah. How much do we have? Like 20p?
50p.
20p pack of blackcurrant chewits, 2 of the rats, 2 of the brains, and 1 apple pencil. Go.
I'd have some licorice all sorts. Some of those, you know those mushrooms that are like sweet and covered in coconut
and
that you used to get
pink Yeah.
Those ones. And some shrimps.
Oh, lovely.
Wham bar. Original size, thank you very much. Huge. Wham bar. A Texan bar. Thick toffee covered in chocolate.
What are bars?
And with the remaining money, mojos, individual mojos, unwrapped and stuck together into one enormous dirty hand mojo.
A lot about Marcus there that he's not a sharer. Well, that was quite a sad moment, wasn't it?
I'm having a curly whirly. Elaine's having licorice all sorts and we will judge her for that.
But Rachel got licorice all sorts.
I'm happy to change it or share. I'll share it with Elaine Page.
Okay. And then we are going to spend the afternoon, the five of us, eating our sweets and putting on a show of sweet charity.
Yes.
And in the evening, we're going to invite all our friends and family.
Yep.
And whoever has enriched the arts during this year, the five of us are just going to nail it. And Elaine will have the time of her life. Standing ovation, 2 curtain calls, and on the second, we're going to get a pump out, pump air into all our buttholes and fart
to the tune. of Don't Cry
Don't
for
Cry
Me.
For Me.
Argentina.
Argentina.
Yes!
That'll be so good.
Rachel Marcus. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've
been delightful. I think the real standout of this podcast has been Marcus's brother. So a massive shout out to him. He sounds like a stand-up guy.
But thank you.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug? I mean, anyone that listens to this is probably following you. But you should probably plug anyway.
Thanks. We'd like to plug our Tuesday night club, which is an online
Tuesday
gig.
Club.
It's with... Always Be Comedy.
That is so great.
So great. Who have loads of great comedy gigs. But ours is every Tuesday night. You can get tickets at Always Be Comedy. It's just me and Marcus messing around, telling comedy, singing songs, doing quizzes.
Yeah.
We'll tweet and Instagram
great.
The link to
it's great.
Thank you.
As well.
It's really fun. We did it on a whim at the start of lockdown thinking, oh, hopefully we can justify half an hour or so. It's like an hour and a half every week and
you're
it's the highlight of our week.
And
we
fun
love
and
it.
Enjoying it. Because I was thinking are people like loving these online gigs as much as the comics are like having fun like putting them on? And I was with my cousin yesterday and she was like, we paid to go see David O'Doherty's online gig and it was just
amazing.
Him alone in his basement. She's like, it was so lovely to watch him like doing his thing. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, people are just enjoying it.
But then it still feels like a night out. Like, my mum and dad to watch an online gig. Granted, I was on it and performing from the next room. But it's sad they got dressed up, they got nice gin.
They're the best
snacks.
People.
So nice.
So nice.
You should have gone to see them while you were in York.
Are we seriously bringing this back right now?
And social media.
I'm at Rachel Paris on Twitter and at Rachel SV Paris. Oh shit, I'll have to change that because I took the Victoria out of my name.
What?
Oh, never mind.
Rachel's initials are RSVP.
And Marcus!
I've very recently joined Instagram and I still don't know how it works.
Are you serious?
I don't know how it works.
What are you called?
I think Marcus Brigstock, hopefully.
Great.
Hopefully. Probably my Instagram handle or whatever it's called is probably my full email address. I'm not great on security.
Your full address. Your phone number.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. So make sure that you follow Marcus and Rachel.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Josh, if you haven't read a review,
you can go onto iTunes and you can leave a 5-star rating. Obviously, 5 stars because it's super weird if you went
obviously.
And did 3. Who does that? Who was the
editor?
Who does that?
I can say 3 and then.
Also, we can get the list of names of people who did a 2. You can't, but like I really want to.
Yeah.
And then you can leave a little review. We do read them.
Yeah.
We are easily hurt. But if it's aim more at Rosie than me, it's super lol, so it's fine. And then, what else? That's it. There's nothing going on, is there? Have a good Christmas.
Follow us. We're gigging. We'll be somewhere.
Yeah.
We are gigging.
Yeah, but like, not really.
All right.
Oh, the arts are dead. Anyway, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
You have 1 new voice message. New voice messages.
Hi, sweet Jack Barry. It's Helen Bauer here. I'm just calling, like, just a really quick one because I'm watching Wild Child and I'm literally just obsessed with Sula right now. Sweaty upper lip alert. But basically, can you please come on me and Rosie's podcast? I know we've been saying we're going to do it for ages, but I feel like now you just need to, like, come over, do it. We'll be super distanced. Rosie will be a babe. I'll be a babe. Come tell us all about you. Love you, Jack. Mwah.
Deleted.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.